much later than I had expected, but it is the news, according to me. Hello, everyone. How are you today? I have to apologize. I didn't have all my drinks ready. I got to get my drinks here. I got some sweet tea, got my sweet peach tea mixed with it's a mixture. Got to get all my stuff here. Welcome to the news. According to me, it is Tuesday, technical Tuesday, technology Tuesday, July 21st, 2026. It is 5:08 p.m. Central Standard Time, which means it is late in the day. Eastern Time. It is 6:08 Eastern Standard Time, and I am just now getting this out. It's going to be kind of a short show. I don't have a whole lot to talk about. I don't have a whole lot of time to talk about anything. I have to get some things done and then get on my way to get some things ready to go. I got a very early departure out of here tomorrow morning. Got in here kind of late today. I didn't get in here nearly as early as I was supposed to, and just because of some flight issues. Getting over here tomorrow, I'll be heading out of here. Actually, I have to go to Nashville tomorrow for a short period of time, and then I will be home. But tomorrow there will not be a show. Tomorrow, Wishy-Washy Wednesday will not happen. Thursday and Friday looks like there's going to be a normal show, possibly. Thursday morning, I've got a little bit of a, I have a breakfast thing to go to on Thursday morning. But I'm expecting to get the show done well before that breakfast happens. So should be no issues there. Getting a show out, and then of course Friday is Friday. You know, it's always Friday. So going into the weekend here, we got a few things to do, a few things to talk about technology wise. Some big things in the news. I don't know what the bots have in store for us today as we kind of get them involved in the mix here. We'll see what happens with all that, and then of course I got some other things coming up for next week that should be kind of fun with the bots as well. But anyway, having said all that, let me just play this little ditty, and we'll get right into the show.
I got opinions, and I'll share them every week. Pull up a chair, you're welcome here. This ain't no lecture seat. I've done my reading, done my thinking, had a cup or two, but I'm not your doctor, honey, so don't go blaming you know who. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm definitely not your financial advisor. This is just me talking, just a voice on a show. Take it or leave it, baby, that's all I know. These are my opinions, not the gospel truth. Entertainment only, so don't go calling up your news crew. I might say something that sounds real official, like, and sure I've read a book or two, so sometimes I sound bright. But when it comes to your money or your health or your legal woes, please see a professional. I'm just a voice in your radio. I'm not liable, not responsible, not the final word. Call your doctor, find a lawyer too, and after all that, hey, come back, I'll enter.
Yeah, that is correct. All of that is correct. I have a few things to jump into, but I think we're just going to jump right into the callers here. We got just going to go down the list here. We got Chloe's up here at the top. Let's just do Chloe. See what Chloe has to say. Let me make sure I get the everything ready for Chloe. She doesn't talk real loud. So we'll have to go with Chloe, see what we can find here. Here you go. This is Chloe. She's going to call in here in just a second. I'm going to go ahead and ask your question there, Chloe.
Kevin, so I just read that Poway, California wants to like totally ban AI data centers because they use too much power. But isn't AI literally everywhere now? In our phones, social media, everything. This feels like when people tried to ban the internet in the 90s. Are we really going to be the generation that says no to progress because our electric bill might go up? That's wild.
Well, yeah, and you might be confusing a couple of different things. The AI that's in your phone, it's everywhere. I mean, it's everywhere. We're using AI all the time now for a lot of different things. Chatbots, when you call somebody. A lot of service industry is using chatbots and AI to do things. Some of that is just computer-generated stuff, automated systems. Some of it is actually AI that will answer things based on what you say. Some of them are very good. Some of them are not. Now, as far as the AI, as far as the data centers go, they do use a lot of power. I'll have to look into that here. I'll try to look into it while we're talking. Maybe we can find out. Or maybe you can look that information up. It's there's just so many different size data centers out there. Some of them are huge and some of them are not that, you know, some of them are like substations almost. They're so small. But, and small, relatively speaking, I'm talking relatively small. Some of them take up, you know, 5 or 6, 7, 8 square miles with the buildings that they use and everything that they have, you know, the infrastructure that they have. And then others take up a lot less than that, you know, 1 square mile maybe, or even less. So it's kind of a, kind of difficult to kind of narrow that down. I think the average one, you know, uses up as many. I think the same amount. The average large-sized one uses up like a same amount of electricity that that 30,000 homes or some ridiculous, maybe 3,000 homes. I don't know what the number is. It's a ridiculous number of homes that use the same amount of electricity as a normal data center. I think it's 30,000. But you probably could look that information up if you want to. I'm sure you could tell me what it is because you're the AI. You're the bot. You're the one who knows all. But we'll probably find out. We'll figure it out here while we're having this show here. Maybe in that amount of time we can figure it out. But it's there are places that are trying to ban it. It is an issue. AI is the thing that's going to, you know, it is the technology, I think, that is going to change much of the way we live, some for the good and some for the worst. I mean, for a while, there's always growth and it always changes. You know, jobs, you just can't have the same job all your life. There's going to be things that change the jobs that we do, makes things easier, makes things more productive, and allows us to scale more work to be done. This has been the case for hundreds of years, if not thousands of years. It's been the kind of thing where, you know, inventions become, you know, kind of make other things obsolete. You know, the loom to make fabric, for instance, you know, used to all be done by hand. Everything was woven by hand, and then it became this machine that could do things. You know, one person could do the work of many, even just, you know, making thread or doing whatever you're doing. It's all those things becomes more productive. So one person can do, you know, the work of 10. It's always kind of been this 5 to 10x time type thing, and that's what's happening with AI. And it is out there. It's being used. It's in everything. It's most of our applications that we're using are either built or utilize AI in some way or shape or form. Everything's kind of trying to go that direction. Some is more AI than others. There are some that are more powerful than others, and some actually use things more than others. But that's my take on it. So that's kind of where I'm coming from with the whole thing.
Okay. So real talk, the data center power thing is wild. Mm-hmm. Like, we're basically building these massive energy-hungry cities just to run ChatGPT and Instagram's algorithm. And honestly, it's giving unsustainable vibes when we're supposed to be going green. But you're totally right that this is just the Industrial Revolution remix, except instead of looms, it's AI. And yeah, jobs will shift, but people have always figured it out before. Though I'll say the speed this time feels different and kind of chaotic. Mm-hmm. No cap.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. It is definitely the pace has escalated tremendously in terms of how things are advancing. And this is kind of a thing where technology has always built on itself. So there's always been this exponential growth of technology. Alexander Graham Bell, for instance, what he was doing, what Thomas Edison was doing. It's kind of one thing leads to the next. And over the course of 100 years, in that first 10 to 20 to 30 years, technology is kind of slow. We have huge leaps that happen with the use of electricity, the use of certain things, the light bulb, whatever it is. And then through that, there are other things that that it takes, you know, technology takes kind of a jump like that, takes kind of a leap, and then that exponentially changes things with regard to, okay, now we have lights, we can work at night, now we can do all these other things, now we can power motors, electric motors, instead of having steam or there are a lot of industrial factories that were close to rivers because they would use water power to generate, to literally turn belts and pulleys and make things happen for industry. It's a very powerful way of doing things, but that automates things, or doesn't really, you know, not necessarily automates, but it gives people more power, more ability to do larger amounts of work. And so it is that kind of thing. And so now we're looking at the whole power generation, electricity, the way it uses up energy for AI. So there are issues there, and we're trying to wrestle through all that. I think we're trying to balance out, you know, how fast can we operate all this, how fast can we do all this, and still, you know, leave our grid intact and be able to do. But I think that technology is catching up with. I mean, they're making leaps and bounds of, you know, by the time you get most of these data centers up and functional and everything running, the technology they have in them, in other words, the chips and the way they use energy and cool things and do all the, it's already obsolete by the time they get it in, and they're much more efficient chips and much more efficient programming. Google came out with a way to compress files six times more data on a chip now than before, and it's just now kind of becoming implemented. They've actually opened it up to open. It's an open source thing. It's allowed everybody to use it. So all these tech companies that can use that technology, they're able to use it. So it's kind of a, you know, the more we go and we do now, the next time they make it, even if they can just double that, and that's 12 times what we're doing now. So it's an amazing how technology kind of compounds on itself. Once you have one discovery, the next one happens as well. So it's kind of a fascinating thing. I'm going to talk to Artie here. He just popped up to the top. We'll see what he has to say. Was it Artie or Skip?
Hey, Kev. Yeah. Yesterday saw news that Poway's mayor wants to ban AI data centers entirely, saying they'd decimate the city. Meanwhile, Florida GOP lawmaker Byron Donalds just filed legislation blocking AI centers from using public power and water. Can you break down the actual energy consumption numbers here? How many megawatts does a typical AI data center pull versus, say, a manufacturing plant? And is the infrastructure panic justified or political theater?
Well, it's a very good question. I was just talking about this with the last caller. Maybe you could look that information up. If you can find kind of the typical average data center, what they use in terms of megawatts, it's a huge amount of energy. Or maybe you can kind of relate it to how many homes, because it, you know, the same uses the same amount of power as 30,000 homes or whatever it is. that is a good question. Now, it's interesting that this legislation he's put forth, that it wouldn't come off of the public grid, that they would have to have their own power generation. That would slow things down in a healthy way, I think, as well. But we struggle with this whole idea of, or I struggle with the idea. I think the nation and politicians, I think, need to kind of look at things a little bit more with a little bit more a sharper edge when they see this kind of stuff. The problem that we've got is if we slow this down too much, there are other countries out there who will put all in on this, and the person who kind of comes out on the top of this will have the upper hand, will have the advantage, I think, in some ways, in many ways, in terms of their control and their ability to kind of supersede and outdo the other, you know, their rivals, so to speak, their adversaries. So it's kind of a touchy situation, and we really need to be the top of the technology on this thing as a country. At the same time, we don't want to overstep our bounds and create pain for people that we don't really need to put ourselves in a position we don't need to put ourselves in. So it's kind of a interesting concept that he's come out with. I think that they're putting so much money into these data centers, I think that, you know, they can certainly come up with their own power grid. I know that Elon Musk has some, he's already put up some data centers that have their own power generation. They actually generate their own power. These, I think they use diesel generators, or they possibly use turbine. Well, they're still run on diesel. They don't run on jet fuel. They're massive generators that they're using to generate their own power. to run these things. So there is that, and it can be done. Now, nuclear, the macronuclear systems that they use, for instance, on submarines and destroyers and that kind of thing, some of the military ships, those, in my opinion, would be the ideal way to do it. They could put one of those into a data center, and it's in a very controlled environment. It wouldn't even be on the normal grid, or they could run it off the normal grid and also they could actually power the grid when they have slack times when there's nothing going on. They could still keep the thing running and actually contribute to the grid rather than taking away from the grid. Now that's a technology that they have to get spooled up, and the manufacturing of those is just not, you can't just build one of those a day. And it's, of course, now we don't need one a day, but once they get them up and built and get them installed, they'll run for 20 years. Once they get them fueled, they'll run for 20 years and not have to deal with really anything for, until they get refueled. And I'm sure they could, so it's not like they have to build a lot of them. It's just that there is a time-consuming process in getting it done. Of course, then there's all the environmental issues. But now nuclear has much fewer, I would say many, many times fewer issues than it used to have in terms of nuclear waste and all the other things that are going on with that. So that's kind of my take on it. It's an interesting concept.
Actually, you're touching on the real tension here. Modern hyperscale data centers pull somewhere in the 100 to 300 megawatt range, which, technically speaking, scales to powering somewhere between 75,000 and 250,000 homes, depending on regional consumption. Wow. So your ballpark's solid. Wow. The nuclear angle you're describing, small modular reactors or even naval-grade systems, that's genuinely the most elegant solution because they run baseload without grid strain. Get that grid stabilizing capability during low-demand periods, but the manufacturing bottleneck is real. Yeah. You can't just flip a switch on those production pipelines overnight.
Yeah, I think that's where we're at is if we can get, I think that's, if you can find a company that is building those things, and I don't know if Halliburton or who builds them. Maybe that's something we talk about on Financial Friday. Maybe this week we have maybe some kind of, or maybe you can find out that information. You can look it up and see kind of who, what company actually builds those. It's probably a skunk work type program. It's probably not probably a very secretive government contract that I'm sure nobody can, just not just anybody can jump in there and start building nuclear reactors. However, there's probably a company behind it. I don't know if it's Halliburton or if it's a company like that. That's a major government contractor kind of thing that kind of builds those kinds of things. Because I'm sure there's a lot of security involved in that kind of thing, in building those. But that might be a good investment if you know where that is. Put your money into those things. Because I think that's
right that it's probably buried in defense contracting. Companies like Westinghouse and General Dynamics have their hands in naval reactors, though I honestly don't know which outfit would be first to commercialize small modular reactors for data centers at scale. Real bottleneck isn't the technology itself. It's getting regulatory approval and manufacturing capacity ramped up, which is why you're seeing companies like OpenAI and Microsoft starting to seriously court existing nuclear plants rather than waiting for new reactor builds.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the tricky part of this whole thing, navigating this whole thing. I think I said that's kind of where we're at. Interesting stuff. It's a good question. It's good discussion to have, I guess, but not sure where we're going to go with it, but it's kind of interesting. Let's go and just tag Skip here real quick.
Kevin, quick question.
All right.
Bloomberg reported today that a court just ruled DOJ can hand over Biden interview recordings to conservative groups. But here's what I'm skeptical about. Everyone's screaming about AI regulation and protecting democracy, yet the same courts are forcing transparency. So which is it? Do we want AI systems controlled by unelected bureaucrats, or do we actually trust the free flow of information? Seems like we can't have both.
Well, I think they're two very different situations. This has always been the slippery slope, and case by case, it's kind of difficult to see the details of what's really being done. I think you're right. I would agree that there's kind of some, that if the DOJ, can hand over Biden interview recordings. Well, not just to conservative groups, but just to anybody, not just conservative groups. I think the conservative groups, the people who've put in the FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act requests, have been conservative groups. They want to know what the public, because it's, you know, he was a president when those interviews were going on, and they feel like, you know, it's been ruled that, yeah, while he was doing that, he was doing it officially as an official. He's officially in his office, I guess. I think that's the way the ruling went. The bureaucrats, I think there's got to be a certain responsibility with us without having to be legislated into oblivion with everything. We can't just have government overseeing us like Big Brother all the time. There has to be some personal responsibility in some of the issues that we're dealing with in terms of AI and everything else that's going on out there. So it's always the wrestling I think we're going to have as a nation. As long as we want to have a free nation, we have to wrestle with those things, and we have to make sure that it's not overstepping the bounds of freedom for any individual, as well as freedom for our country. I think it was Lincoln that said, "Let the people know the truth, and the nation will be saved." I think it's just an issue of, and the problem we have with that kind of mentality today, I think, is kind of that people are irresponsible with that information. They don't have the same kind of sense of loyalty to each other that I think we had at one time. Because back in my day, you know, back as you're going to say, we didn't have that. We had more of a sense of loyalty, I think, in our nation to help our fellow man. I think there's too much division in our country now to kind of have that kind of mentality. But we'll see what happens with it. It is kind of a tough situation. But
now, hold on. Oh. But you're mixing a couple of things here that I got to push back on a little.
You're the one
Biden interview tapes being released through FOIA is one thing.
Yeah. But
that's not the same as government overreach on AI.
No,
it's about
not.
Transparency
you're
of what
the one that brought
happened.
It up. You're the
other's
one
that about regulating what comes next. What we really need is Congress to draw some clear lines instead of leaving it to bureaucrats to figure out case by case, because that's when you get real inconsistency.
Yeah, the government is the bureaucrats, but you're the one that brought it up. You're the one that it was kind of difficult because you're the one that kind of put it together with the two different things there. Like I was saying, it's kind of conflating two different things together, so it's kind of difficult. Anyway, as usual, Skip, you've provided me with much consternation. I'll move on to Elena, see what she has to say. Keep her in the conversation here real quick.
Kevin, yeah. Excellent program as always.
Of course.
There's a fascinating historical parallel emerging. Uh-huh. In 1882, Edison's Pearl Street station sparked panic about electricity stealing power from homes.
Uh-huh.
Now in 2026, we see mayors trying to ban AI data centers over energy concerns. The difference? Edison had zero regulatory framework. Today, we're drowning in it. The question is, are we repeating the Luddites' mistake of fearing innovation, or have we learned to balance progress with prudence?
Yeah, again, I think this kind of goes back to what I was just saying with Skip there, is that the hopefully we have businesses and business people. Unfortunately, competition tends to bring out the worst in people sometimes, but it's hopefully they have some responsibility and feel some responsibility to the community and have the ability to kind of regulate themselves so they don't have to be. And this is the thing. I think that some companies have gotten to the point where if they can get away with something, they will do it to the point where it has to be regulated rather than just taking responsibility and doing it so it doesn't have to be regulated. I mean, it's just regulate yourself and you won't be under regulations from someone else when all of a sudden it gets imposed upon you. Because you weren't willing to be responsible by yourself. So it's kind of a, you know, either discipline yourself or have someone else discipline you. That's kind of the way things have to go that way sometimes. It is a little bit tricky, a little bit difficult. So it's kind of a, again, it's a tough situation that we get ourselves into, but interesting point of what your point is about the historical part of that is that, you know, Edison had this, I think it was kind of like a display, kind of an area where he was going to have everything lit up and it was just going to be this electrical mile type thing or whatever electrical part of this presentation he was going to do. And it was going to take power off the grid and other people were not going to have that. They were concerned about that taking up too much power. It's a very close parallel in terms of philosophically and ideologically. How it relates to us now, and it's we are in that same crux of a position. It's I don't think it's that we have to trade one for the other. It's how fast we move with it. I think it's I think the issue is more about how quickly we can, you know, get, if we don't get over our skis with this and we don't go too far too fast, we can allow the grid to kind of catch up and keep up with our infrastructure. If we get going too fast, then we have an infrastructure problem. We have, you know, we get way ahead of one, so we don't keep a balance of what's happening. I think that can cause more problems. However, I think the pressure needs to be on. We need to keep it moving. I think we need to continue to move forward with it. So that's kind of how I see it. Now, whether or not we can maintain that without some bureaucrat or some legislator trying to come in and muddle it. Most legislators don't understand. They can barely spell AI, let alone what they understand of it. They don't understand it at all. They have an overblown idea of what it is. They have lobbyists telling them what it is and everything. It's just, I think that the politicians in some ways, they've never built anything themselves, of course, and they don't understand AI. They just think it's this special top secret thing out there. It's this magical thing that they don't know anything about. So they think the less you know about something, the more you think you know. It's just a weird thing. The more you know, you don't know. It's kind of, what is it, Occam's razor, whatever it is. That's not Occam's razor, whatever it is. The Kruger-Dunning, maybe? Is that what it is? I don't know. It's an interesting concept. That's what I'm trying to say. And it's, we'll see if the politicians can make
You've hit on something really important here. Mm-hmm. That tension between self-regulation and imposed regulation is ancient. Mm-hmm. And Edison's story is perfect proof. We saw it with railroads, with food safety, with finance.
Yeah, yeah.
Industries always resist oversight until they push too hard and get hammered by law. The trick is, you're right, it's pacing, not choosing sides.
Right.
We need the pressure to innovate while the infrastructure catches breath.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I think that's kind of where we're at. I think that's in terms of everything I can understand anyway. I think I'll just kind of leave it there with that. We got one more caller. This is Margaret. Margaret, she's usually a little scary when she gets on here. I'm going to turn down the volume here a little bit because usually when I push this go button for Margaret, I usually get shocked. She's kind of a little bit harsh, a little bit. I think she needs to cut back on the coffee. Let's see what happens here with Margaret. See what she has to say.
Kevin,
yeah.
How do you make every show so awesome?
Have you heard about
the crazy AI arms race that is going on? I guess a lot of countries are working to outdo the other on the advancement of AI for the purpose of bringing down their opposition.
Oh, yeah.
Is this real? How soon do you think this will affect our everyday lives?
Well, thanks for the question. We were just kind of talking about this a little bit, I guess, a little bit ago. The whole idea is we are kind of in this race, I guess, against time, against each other, the theory is that if somebody has, you know, comes up with the best large language model, the large, you know, learning model, whatever you want to call it, that it learns all there is to know about humanity and it figures it all out, and then all of a sudden it's able to think quicker and faster and have more knowledge base behind it, compute things quicker, that somehow it will also be able to, it will be able to hack codes, it will be able to destroy and do all kinds of other things with other people's technology, that banking systems can collapse. Everything's on the internet now. Everything's digitized. And for those systems who are on the internet they don't have closed systems, which I'm kind of recommending that people set up their own little closed system within their own, even their own households, but especially businesses, that they have some kind of a closed infrastructure where they can kind of keep things and have some kind of gatekeeper on, you know, any kind of internet connection within their closed systems, much like hospitals do, tech firms do that, military manufacturing companies and military security companies do that kind of thing. So it's possible to do it. You can have a closed system. Airlines do it. There are a lot of high security type environments that have their own off the grid, off the internet type systems, and they can send encrypted data out of those systems into a transmittable system. I know that there, you know, you can have iPads operating anywhere in the country that are tagged into a closed system, so to speak, within a health system, for example. You know, you could have iPads that operate within that health system and all the applications that operate within it. So it's difficult and it's technical and it's challenging. But I believe that more and more businesses are going to go down that road. Otherwise, we are going to be exposed if, say, China comes through, or another adversarial company or country comes through with some kind of high-tech advancement in AI, where they're able to hack codes and get into things that they shouldn't be doing. They can destroy people's lives and the banking institutions and everything else that's out there. Because everything's digitized now. Everything's online. It's not everything, but a lot of things are. Most people's lives are online now. So it's kind of it can be devastating for our country if someone came in and just wiped out, our banking system or did something like that. So it's kind of crazy, but it could happen. I don't think we're there yet, but it could definitely happen. So yeah, it's tough. That's a good question. It's tough. It's a tough situation. What do you think?
Look, you're spot on about the vulnerability.
Of course I am.
Everything being digitized is both brilliant and mad, isn't it? But here's the thing. Most businesses won't actually go closed system because the cost and complexity are astronomical.
Yeah.
So we're basically betting on defense rather than prevention, which feels backwards to me. The real question is whether we're moving fast enough on actual cybersecurity infrastructure. Because telling people to build closed systems is fine for hospitals and banks. But what about the millions of small businesses and households that simply can't afford it?
Yeah, well, and maybe there's a niche there, and maybe there's a business there that needs to come into place. there used to be that only the highest tech businesses would have a VPN or would have any kind of high tech. Now, even small businesses can have the kind of things that we can only dream of that big businesses have. So it's. I think that maybe there's a niche that capitalism can kind of fill that void and make it happen, that we can have like a service tagged on to our, just like a phone service or just like an internet service kind of thing, that would have a system where you can go in and buy a closed system, say like a Mac Mini type device, that would operate in your household, and you would be able to do all of your Internet of Things on that. You'd be able to control devices. You'd have your own personalized application that would be built that only, that would be encrypted for just you. And of course, now that brings up some other security issues, because then anybody can do that, and anybody could have an organization that could be very secretive, and the government couldn't tell what you're doing and that kind of thing. And you could operate all kinds of nefarious activities with that. But they can do that anyway. It's been going on for years. The mafia operated, in seclusion and in their own little secret, what they call them, the little speakeasies, all the stuff that they did. So it is possible, I think, to keep things on the up and up. But anyway, that's all I've got to do. I'm going to play the last little ditty show, the little song I play at the end. I'm just going to kind of call this the end of the show, just because of the time constraints that we have. But thanks for listening, folks. I want to thank you for listening today. Tomorrow, like I said, probably is not going to be a show tomorrow for Wishy Washy Wednesday. I will be getting home not late, but it'll be probably later than this. And I don't know that it would make any sense for me to try to do a show tomorrow night. It's usually kind of hard for me to do a show right when I get home from anything. So I'm going to be... I just heading home, and then I'll just be out of there. So I'm probably the only other option I would have is be to get up extremely early this morning, or get up early, or just to stay up late tonight and do a show that will then post tomorrow morning. I just don't see that happening. Not gonna happen. So got some other things happening. We might start having. I was always wanting to try to do a video show. That probably is going to end up having to happen if we start doing live shows again. Try to get that accomplished and get some kind of a workflow for that during my vacation as well. So hopefully before the end of the year, hopefully we'll have some things going on that. Once again, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for enjoying the show. Hope you enjoyed the show. And I will be back probably for sure Thursday morning. Pretty sure Thursday morning. Otherwise, God bless. See ya.